For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
I love that guy, Chael Sonnen. He could come on whenever he wants. He is a tremendous guest. Great energy, good jokes, good insight. And I like when we talk about things that maybe people are uncomfortable discussing because that's what is like the whole part of the business is. Now, the fact that more and more people didn't talk about what Bryce Mitchell said, and a lot of people did when it happened, but then leading into that fight, you heard very little about it. It was good to see John Silva just kick the crap out of Bryce Mitchell. So I appreciate Chael Sonnen joining us. UFC 314 was awesome. It was. And there's some big UFC fans around here. They've been down on the product recently. I thought Pereira losing his last time out was a blow to the UFC, but I've enjoyed the sport a lot. Like what soccer is to Stu is really what UFC has become to me. Where you're late to the party, you watch something the last 4 or 5 years, and you just develop a love for it. And Stu's at like a different level with soccer. It also gets the help when the UFC's in town at the Garden or the Prudential Center. I always go there. I kind of want to go to Vegas for one of these fights, too. That would be a whole lot of fun. But that card with John Silva, then seeing Chandler and Paddy Pimblett, and Chandler just got destroyed. I don't know what's next for him. And then Diego Lopez, he threw some haymakers, but Volkanovski won. It was a tremendous, and I mean a tremendous night for the UFC. And now the big question becomes, who is Paddy Pimblett going to fight next? I also was very impressed with Dominic Reyes, too, because he was not in as good a shape, it didn't look like it, as the guy that he was fighting. And he just unloaded. And had a knockout, I believe it was right in the first round. So very good night for the UFC. But the UFC, that's where it's kind of been struggling, is you have guys that are incredible in the octagon, but then the personality's not there. And Paddy Pimblett's one of those guys where the personality's always been there, but can his performance in the octagon match the theatrics out of the octagon, which what he brings? And he should have lost that Flash Gordon fight. There's no doubt about it. Then he had the major injury, right? He didn't really join us. We had a conversation with him. We put some of it out there. He wasn't the best of interview, you know, lead up to a fight, it could happen. If I'm just being honest, after 4 minutes, I'm like, all right, Paddy, I'm going to let you run. But he did tell me in that four and a half minutes that we did get to spend with him that I cut it short. He didn't cut it short, to be clear. I cut it short. That he had 3 surgeries in a month after that ankle injury with all the complications. And then he had the birth about a year ago of 2 girls, 2 twins. And that kind of changed his life as well. But to see the way that he progressed, especially up against Ferguson and then continued in the octagon, it to culminate with Michael Chandler, who a lot of people thought Michael Chandler, right, that was a good fight for him to take. They were a little surprised when he did, because Chandler, he fights all the big names, but he doesn't usually win. But then for Pimblett to have that success up against Chandler and just smash his face in, that was a big night for Paddy Pimblett. So appreciate Chael Sonnen for joining us. But let's get back to the biggest story of the day. And it's Rory McIlroy getting the monkey off his back, won his first major championship since 2014. And he completed the career Grand Slam at Augusta, which was a place that we thought he would never win. So you kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Obviously, you get your first major championship since 2014, but also you complete the career Grand Slam. So I got 2 questions here for you. Best monkey off the back moment in sports and a current situation where someone has a monkey off their back, you know, on their back, and we're trying to see if they could punch through and eventually get it off their back. So let's start in the history of sports, the best monkey off the back moment. I kind of pulled a Samter here where I had 3 options. And I didn't eliminate one, so I just grouped them in. There are 3 legendary quarterbacks that for years there was that question, can they win a Super Bowl? Can they win a Super Bowl? Can they win a Super Bowl? And I don't know how to differentiate the 3. So John Elway, obviously, for years and years and years and years, it looked like it just wasn't going to happen. And then John Elway got 2 Super Bowls at the end of his career. That first one, monkey off the back. Steve Young, Now, he won championships because he was backing up Montana, but he didn't have one with him as the starter. And that's probably the most iconic just because of that video that's on the sideline where they're literally, he's like, rip it off my back, take it off my back. And that's just such a moment that goes down in the annals of NFL history. That's shown each and every year when they play the Super Bowl. And also Peyton Manning, because the monkey came off his back really in the AFC Championship game, because he could never beat the Patriots in the postseason. And he lost twice to them in the playoffs. Brady already had three, and they were down big at halftime. And Dwight Freeney told me this. Whoever won that AFC Championship game was going on to win the Super Bowl, because you're going up against Rex Grossman and the Chicago Bears. But Peyton Manning getting that first one, eventually got another one where he did not play all that well in Super Bowl 50, but Von Miller was sensational. He ended up getting two championships. So mine are the quarterbacks as the great get the monkey off your back moment in sports, and I don't know how you really break that tie between Peyton Manning, Steve Young, and John Elway. I guess if I had to give the tiebreaker to one, it would be Steve Young and say, okay, you're going to prevail out of the three just because of the lasting video, the everlasting video that was captured and then has been showed throughout all these years on the sideline. So those are some of my more memorable monkey off the back moments in sports. Stu, who did you elect to go with? Actually, what sport did you go with first? Let me hear what sport you went with.
I went with the NBA.
You went with the NBA. Okay, what's the monkey off the back moment here for the NBA?
So mine is also a trio.
Mm.
And it's a moment
I'm a trend starter.
I don't love this moment, but 2008... Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, all winning their first title. They come together, all three high draft picks, all three generational talents, top 10 to 12 players of that generation. Neither of them had none of them had a championship, and then they finally got it.
Why would that moment be tough for you to recall? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, it was against the Lakers. Opponent? It was against the Lakers, sadly. They were no match for that Celtics team.
Yeah. Did you think, by the way, that Paul Pierce actually... needed the wheelchair? Or do you buy that he just had to take a number two?
I'm not sure if I buy that second part, but I do kind of think he might have played up the wheelchair thing a little bit to, get the crowd hyped. Kind of like the Willis Reed moment, if you will, of that series.
Yeah, I got to be careful with how I say this, because I don't want to have to use the dump button. But appropriate word choice for what we're talking about with what the allegations were. Eddie House, I once asked him about this. And this was like a legendary rejoin that we had, I think, from the overnight days. So this goes back to the weekend overnight days. And I asked Eddie House about that, and I would often use it as a rejoin when I did 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, if he thought that Paul Pierce took a number two in his pants and that's why he got carried off the court into the wheelchair. And he said, or he was on the verge of having to go number two. And he said, well, if you've ever... are in a situation where you needed to take a number two, the last thing you want is the two people to pick you up and basically have you squat in that position in the air. So that's why he totally dismissed that there was any possibility that Paul Pierce either did go number two in his pants or needed to go number two and couldn't make it there. And that's why he needed the wheelchair. So that was the Eddie House retort. Now, that doesn't totally eliminate it. People still speculate that Paul Pierce had to take a number two, and Paul Pierce has played into the allegations through the years, but sometimes when Paul Pierce now speaks, I don't even know if he knows what he's saying when he does say it, because allegedly there's a lot of times that Paul Pierce just likes to enjoy himself, all right? But that's a good one there, Stu, because Garnett, I was a massive KG fan growing up as a kid. I always respected Ray Allen, and I did love Paul Pierce, and that was really... Everyone talks about LeBron starting the Big Three era. Now, the way that LeBron did it, right, he made it more of a show. He took his talent to South Beach. Chris Bosh also landed there. Dwayne Wade was already there. Really, Paul Pierce being there in Boston, and then you had the two trades go about it that way. That's why it's probably viewed a little bit differently. But that was really what started, kind of laid the foundation. It laid the road for what LeBron did eventually to happen. And it was also very successful with it being with one championship, and they probably should have had two championships, if we're being honest. Because they were up 3-2. Perkins gets hurt, I believe it was in that game 6, and then they don't win that game 7. And Ray Allen was god-awful, if memory serves me right, in that game 7. And Meta World Peace, actually. Remember, he hit that shot in game 7, and then afterwards, he's like, I like to thank my psychiatrist. One of the all-time great lines. thanking your shrink after winning a championship. And let's remember, folks, now that's kind of normal, commonplace. Back then, I don't think mental health was accepted the way that it is now, which is a very good thing. So if you have someone that thanks your shrink now, it's not the most uncommon thing that you've ever heard. Back then, it's not that. What was that, 2011, Stu? That championship?
That last one was 2010.
2010? Yeah. Still back then, you weren't expecting those words to be uttered by Meta World Peace. But anyway, we move on to Samter. Samter, what is yours?
I got a list. No, I got a couple that I was
talking about. We're going grocery shopping. Do you have the blueberries and the strawberries, though?
I got them both. The first one I was thinking about was Phil Mickelson, lefty. But we already did a Masters one, right? Like, he went 17 top 10 finishes, 8 top 3 finishes, 3 runner-ups before he finally won the 04 Masters.
Yeah.
So I thought about that one.
I still think the monkey is on his back because he hasn't won the career Grand Slam.
Sure, but that's a different monkey.
Yeah.
It's more of an orangutan, I think. Michael Jordan, right? His first 6 years, he didn't have a championship, could not get past either the Celtics or the Pistons. First, he got past the Celtics. Then 3 straight years, he lost to the Pistons before beating them and winning the first of his 6 titles. But I'm going to go with Alex Rodriguez. A-Rod, 16 years, 3 MVPs, and consistent failures in the postseason before he finally broke through for the Yankees in 2009.
That's a great one. So I ended up going with the 3 quarterbacks, John Elway, Steve Young, and Peyton Manning. Stu goes with the big 3 in Boston. And you went the big 3 in Boston, right?
Yes.
Get the monkey off the back moment for the 3 of them. It's an interesting way that you thought about it because there was pressure on them to win. But I don't know. Usually I feel like monkey off the back, it's you're in one situation for so long. You're at one tournament for so long. It's a good one. But you're right. All 3 of those guys didn't have a championship at that point.
And it's probably, for me, it's probably more Garnett than the other two because he was so, so, so good. And he couldn't get anything
MVP
in Minnesota.
He
had no help for like a decade there.
Yeah. And I respect his loyalty for a while because he wanted to stay for so long. And then eventually he's like, I got to get on out of here to win a championship. And then Samter goes with A-Rod. All righty. Currently, I'll start you off, Stu. You could start us off. Who is the current athlete or team that has a giant monkey on their back and we're still waiting to see it get ripped off?
Yeah, it's Josh Allen and the Bills. And I thought it was going to be this past year. I thought they were going to be able to overcome the Chiefs and get to the Super Bowl and win it. But, I mean, Josh Allen is, at worst, the 3rd best quarterback in the league right now. And he's up there with Mahomes and Lamar. But it's got to happen at some point. And man, I'm starting to get worried that, you know, you get 2-3 more years of him not winning it. When's it going to happen?
And he's a better quarterback than Jim Kelly, but it's easy to make those kind of comparisons. And Jim Kelly got to 4 straight Super Bowls, right? And the Bills, they got to 4 straight Super Bowls and they lost. But you're just, if you're Buffalo, it's easy to say, we all know how special Josh is. I think he's the 2nd best quarterback in the league behind Mahomes, but he plays really well even when they lose. And you start to wonder, is this just history repeating itself? So it's a great one. There's no doubt about it. Samter, should I go here or should you go? Do you have a list, just wondering?
I have a list.
Okay, then time out. Let me go. Let me take one off your list and then we'll get to your list. You're probably good honey-do item list, right? Like your wife gives you a bunch of lists at the supermarket. You get all the items, correct?
Yeah, but the problem is she gives me a list of 5 things. I come home with 20.
Oh, I could see that. Oh, if it's on your credit card, then I guess she doesn't really care, for being honest.
I went to Home Depot to get keys made, and I came back with like $120 worth of Home Depot stuff.
Well, I think snacks is where we see it the most because you do have a sweet tooth. You have a very good palate. But there's a lot of times that Samter will bring in snacks here. And I often now wonder if those snacks are just brought in because, A, you brought something home that your wife didn't want in the house, or you just have so much crap in your house because Samter gets told to get 3 snacks and he brings back 25. So you have to get some of them out of the house and then you become a very generous person here and benevolent person here and you just start getting us all fat.
You see right through me.
Yeah, there's always a method to your madness. I know that. I'm going the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, they finally got the monkey off their back in 2023, getting out of the first round. But they have so much talent. The talent is just ridiculous that they have. Their last Stanley Cup victory was in 1967. Think about that. And we know Canada, right, hasn't won a Stanley Cup in the longest time. So you have not only the pressure for the country, but also for your individual franchise. And you have such a talented roster right now. And you just brought in a coach in Craig Berube who won a Stanley Cup in, of all places, St. Louis. All right? This is go time for the Maple Leafs, but for Austin Matthews and also John Tavares, who literally had the captaincy stripped away from him, the two of them with the Maple Leafs, they got to find a way to get the job done because they keep on having 100-point season after 100-point season. You look since 2022, 115 points, 111, 102, 102, and the farthest they've ever gone is the second round. And this even goes back to when Babcock was there. In 2019 had 100 points. In 2018, they had 105 points as well. You know, you look at the run that they've had from 2017 and on, you would think that group would have a championship, but they don't yet. And they've seen Babcock, they've seen Sheldon Keefe, and now they've seen Craig Berube. So we'll see if the third time could be a charm for Coach Craig Berube. So mine are the Maple Leafs. All righty, what do we got cooking here, Santa?
All right, so over in the NFL, I got a couple names. Dak Prescott is one of those guys who has a big monkey on his back for sure. Jared Goff, just because he's been there and he has like the weight of a city on his shoulders.
But does anyone actually think Dak's ever going to do it? Like, to me, Dak is, if he just gets to an, I think the monkey on his back is just getting to an NFC title game, for crying out loud, with the Cowboys.
That's certainly part of it. And listen, whether or not people think that he's going to do it or not, that question of his playoff failures continue to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with Jared Goff, right? He had a terrible Super Bowl against your Patriots. He had a terrible game last year.
For
Detroit. So he's got it. But I think, honestly, even more so than Josh Allen, the Bills.
What sport are you going for?
What's up?
Is this your answer that you're going for?
No, no, no. This is just with the NFL. Lamar Jackson, I think, has more of a monkey in his back.
Don't forget the cookies.
Yeah, right? I think he has more than Josh Allen because Lamar has won two MVPs and probably should have won this year too. I think Lamar over Josh Allen.
That's a great question. Who has the larger monkey on their back? Is it Lamar Jackson or is it Josh Allen? I think there's more public spotlight on Josh to win. But for Lamar, you have three things now that you got to slay. He's 0-2 against the Bills in the postseason. He's had success in the regular season up against the Chiefs, but hasn't defeated the Chiefs in the playoffs. And just if you get through the AFC, then you got to ball out in the Super Bowl. Where for Josh Allen, it's really just one thing standing in front of you. Yes, you still got to get to the Super Bowl and win it, but it's just been Kansas City that has cost you championships. I think there's more pressure on Josh, and I think Josh gets highlighted more because I think Mahomes-Allen is more of a rivalry than Mahomes-Lamar. But you're right. I think there's multiple dragons that Lamar needs to slay compared to Josh Allen.
Now,
and especially Josh plays really well in the playoffs, too.
Now, do you think the fact that the Ravens have won two Super Bowls this century and the Bills haven't won in 30...
Helps.
Yeah.
Because you factor in more of the quarterback. It's also with the team. It's like, all right, now you have God at the quarterback position, you know, in jest when I say that, with the Bills. But the Bills franchise has just been so tortured. Yeah, it does change it when you've had two Super Bowl championships since 2000, yeah.
The one difference also, though, is like Josh Allen has had success individually, and Lamar has struggled, so there's also that
in
side
the postseason,
of it, too.
Yeah,
in the postseason. In the NBA, I think Luka and Embiid are two guys who have monkeys on their back. Luka losing
so
in the final.
More so Embiid.
Yeah, but now that he's in Los Angeles with LeBron, there's probably more of a microscope. He lost in the finals last year, Luka. Embiid for sure, but it almost feels like Embiid's on that downturn.
You know who he is. I said this before. He's Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Now, he's a
both
better,
on my list.
He's a better regular season version of Dak Prescott because Embiid plays at an has won an MVP. Dak Prescott, the best you could say is he's played at an MVP level for a year. But yeah, Joel Embiid and Dak, I think there's a lot of similarities. And the Sixers are basically the Cowboys. All drama, and they never win whenever it matters the most, even when they have teams and they have a special player. Who is the player, though, that you said? Oh, Luka. Luka's fascinating because Luka just went to the finals last year, so I think that alleviates some pressure.
But
he didn't win, but it was so miraculous that he got there. I still don't think the public pressure is on Luka right now, even in Los Angeles. Because are we really talking about the Lakers as a team that we expect to win a championship? I'm not. So I think that conversation may be more so down the road when Luka becomes the face of the Lakers. I wouldn't even have considered Luka, so it's interesting that you brought it up.
I only really thought about it more in the sense that his reputation took a hit publicly because the Mavs had to get rid of this guy who was fat and lazy and drinking beer. So now he has like something to prove. He has.
But did his reputation really? I think everyone just crucifies the Mavericks. I don't think we look at it as a negative slight on Luka.
Sure, but there's still that narrative out there now that Luka's lazy, Luka doesn't care, okay. Luka is getting you know overweight, all this stuff.
Bitches to the refs all the time, cries. Sometimes to the fans and then he gets ejected.
So my top two choices are from baseball. I was going to go Aaron Judge. But I already went with the Yankee for my monkey off the back. So
typical New York national talk show host, Homer.
But I'm going to go with Mike Trout. Mike Trout with multiple MVPs has never won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Not even a series, a game. Mike Trout.
And they actually got off to a good start to the season. And they moved him to right field.
They always do. And then midsummer, they always just fall back.
Yeah. The AL sucks this year. You know, I was hosted on The Fan yesterday in New York, and people are losing their minds over the Yankees at 8-7. And trust me, the Yankees are not great. I don't know if there's a great team in the AL. The Tigers actually, you know, Skubal's phenomenal. They may be the team to beat, but still, do I feel the Tigers going to the World Series? Probably not. We'll see what happens with the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. The Guardians are always good. The Astros have taken a hit. We'll see what the Rangers do. The Mariners, they have the pitching, but the lineup is never there. And I'm already waving the flag on Trout. I said this for years. As long as Trout stays with the Angels, he's never going to win a thing of any significance. You had Ohtani and Trout. I know Trout's been banged up. But you're right. He's the player of his generation, and he has nothing to show for it. Nothing to show for it in terms of championship. So that's a good one. All righty. Who's a player in sports that has a monkey on their back right now, or a team that has a monkey on their back, and you're waiting to see if they could get it off their back? And also, what's one of the best monkey off your back moments that you've seen ever in sports in honor of Rory McIlroy, who had that happen to him yesterday, not only getting his first major championship since 2014, but also completing the career grand slam, finally winning at Augusta for the Masters. Steve Sands, by the way, he's still in Georgia. He's going to join us coming up in 40 minutes from now at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time. But let's take a break. We'll come on back. We are 10 days away from the NFL draft. Stu's going to take the odds. I'm going to take the evens. We're going to do a Zach Gelb show, top 10 mock draft. And Stu, I don't know for sure, but I think this is going to be the final one that we've done. I think this is version 7.0 or 6.0, something like that. It's either 6 or 7. I think this is going to be the final one that we do because we'll do one in a week. Next week is the draft. There's so much draft coverage on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I don't know if we're going to do a top 10 mock draft where we go back and forth. Maybe I'll just give how I think the top 10 is going to go. So we'll take a timeout. When we come on back, Stu will take the odds. I will take the evens. We'll do the final rendition. Yeah, it'll be the final of the Zach Gelb, Stuart Kovacs top 10 mock draft.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, it's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sports Center at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show and we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. This is either version 6.0 or 7.0. Stu has taken the odds, then I take the evens, and then we reverse the order and, you know, do that multiple times. I think in the rotation, we're up to Stu taking the odds, and I end up taking the evens. So let's get to that right now. There we go. Oh, music. Stu, remember, this exercise, I think we've been doing it this way, but now I'm just going to make it known since this is the final one. Not how should the draft go, how will the draft go in the top 10? Because I know we both have some issues with some teams, how we think it will go and how it should go. So, Stu, how will the Tennessee Titans select with the number one overall pick?
I believe the Titans will go and should go, but will go with Cam Ward out of Miami with the first pick.
I'm in agreement with you there. All righty. What I think should happen and what will happen is drastically different here. If you do not know by this point, well, that's on you, not me. I'll explain it to you at a later date. But the Cleveland Browns picking at 2, I think they will take Travis Hunter, the two-way star, out of Colorado. So next up on the clock are the New York Giants.
Yeah, and again, like you said, what should happen and will happen are different. I think what the Giants will do after signing the two veteran quarterbacks is going with Abdul Carter out of Penn State, the pass rusher.
So far, if I was doing this based off how it will go, we are 3 for 3, Stu. So we have done a good job here as partners in this mock draft. Alrighty, next one. Oh, by the way, before I get to the New England Patriots, well, this mock draft now even has a read. How about that? This NFL draft preview is sponsored by Ego. Tools that deliver or exceed the power and performance of gas without the noise, fuss, and fumes. For any outdoor challenge, count on Ego. Tools to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. Ego, power beyond belief. And former Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter is visiting my Patriots today. I want him to be a member of the New England Patriots. But Abdul Carter has already visited the Giants, Browns, and Titans while deciding visits from all other teams outside of the top four, or declining visits from all other teams outside of the top four. And I'm in agreement here with Stu. I think the Giants will take Abdul Carter with the third overall pick. So we go to my New England Patriots with the fourth overall pick, and I think they are going to take Will Campbell, the offensive lineman here, out of LSU. So short arms, a little bit of a problem. Fine with me. I would rather grab on to Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter here, but I think the Patriots end up taking Will Campbell with the fourth overall selection. We go to Duval. The Jacksonville Jaguars are standing by with the fifth overall pick. And with that selection, Stu Kovacs.
Yeah, and I think I said last time I feel very, very, very confident about this pick, so I'd be pretty surprised if it is not this guy. I believe it will be Mason Graham, the defensive lineman from Michigan.
Here's the thing, because we have been in lockstep, and we've both said that Mason Graham, we feel as if he's going to go to the Jaguars. I feel as if everyone's predicting that. So could there be a situation when that doesn't happen? Because you know this, 9.9 times out of 10, when everyone thinks something is going to happen, usually the opposite does occur. But so far, Stu, we are 5 for 5 in agreement. I wrote down what I think will happen right before this exercise, and these are the ways that the top 5 picks have gone on my top 10. And with you taking the odds and myself taking the evens, we have hit all 5 on my board. Next up, the Raiders. I think we're going to continue to be in agreement here. Now, you think that they should take Shedeur Sanders in this spot, right?
I do. I think if he's there, I think that's a really good opportunity to get a franchise quarterback.
I'm in agreement with you, but I don't think the Raiders are going to do so. I think they're fine with this two to three-year plan with Geno Smith, line it up with Pete Carroll, and you could reassess a year from now. I think they're going to look to pair up that face of the offense, which is Brock Bowers right now, with someone that could tote the rock a little bit more, and that's going to be Ashton Jeanty, the running back out of Boise State. So I have the Raiders taking Ashton Jeanty. And then we go to pick number 7, and standing by with pick number 7, Stuart Kovacs with the JTS, Jets.
So this is the one where I've kind of considered a few guys. I have a feeling they're going to take Tyler Warren, and I actually think that probably is the right decision as well. Mm-hmm. Also, what should happen, but I think Tyler Warren is going to kind of jump. You know, he's not going to fall to 12, 13, 14. He's going to be in that 7, 8, 9 range. I think Tyler Warren is the guy for the Jets there at 7.
7 for 7. These 7 picks are, I think, the draft will happen. Have you disagreed with anything I said? Because I obviously haven't disagreed with anything
you
said.
Not at all. It's exactly how I would have done it, too. Okay.
The executives on FS1 would not be happy with us.
No, not at all.
But we are Infinity Sports Network, but the way that they used to program that Skip Bayless show is just like, just one person agree, one person disagree, and then go at it. All righty. In number 8, the Carolina Panthers. I'm going our third defensive player. It's kind of like 2.5-ish because Travis Hunter is half defense, half offense. But I'm taking Jalen Walker, the pass rusher out of Georgia, to the Carolina Panthers. In at number 9. Now, this is going to be interesting. Yeah. In at number 9, let's see if we're going to be in lockstep and continue to be in lockstep here. Who that say going to beat them Saints?
So before Friday, my pick would have been different. But with the Derek Carr news that he maybe might be missing the season with a shoulder injury, I do think that the Saints at 9 will go with Shedeur Sanders. I think that will be the guy. I think, you know, it's a great opportunity for them with Carr hurt to draft Sanders. And Sanders being there at 9, I think, is kind of crazy. So I think the Saints will now take Shedeur Sanders at 9.
That's what I had as well. So let me ask you this. at 10, with Tyler Warren off the board and Ashton Jeanty off the board, if either are still there, if I'm the Bears, I would scoop one of them up, but they're not. I know the player that I have selected here. And did you agree with Jalen Walker with the Panthers?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
So we've been in agreement for the first 9 picks. Who do you think will be 10? Let's see if we go 10 for 10 here.
I would go with Membu, the offensive lineman. I think that the fact that two weapons are gone, they'll still try to shore up that offensive line.
That's
funny.
I took Armin Membu in at number 10. So we have the Tennessee Titans going Cam Ward, the Cleveland Browns going Travis Hunter, the New York Giants going Abdul Carter, the New England Patriots going Will Campbell, the Jacksonville Jaguars going Mason Graham, the Las Vegas Raiders going Ashton Jeanty, the New York Jets going Tyler Warren, the Panthers going Jalen Walker, the New Orleans Saints going Shedeur Sanders, and then the Bears going Armin Membu. All righty, we will take a break. We'll do onside offside next. Standing by with the latest sports flash. Here is ACK. Using your phone while you're driving could kill someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA. Time to get to a little onside offside. Stu, hit it, Maestro.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gill.
Alrighty. What do we got cooking today, Stu?
All right. So Ashton Jeanty is a lock to go into first round and could go as high as 6 to my Raiders. Omarion Hampton from North Carolina is wide regarded as the second best back, but could also go in the first round with Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins and Cam Scataboo.
Scataboo!
Among other possibilities in the first round. Now, Las Vegas has put the over-under at 2.5 running backs selected in the first round. Onside, offsides, you would take the over on that.
Ooh, it's a great question. Because I think for sure, Jeanty's going to go and Omarion Hampton are going to go. I'm going to say the NFL is a copycat league. Now, it hasn't reflected that way in free agency. But with the success of Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, I know, right, they were a first-round pick and then a second-round pick. And they had these successful careers, more so Henry than Barkley. But then they both had monster seasons this year when signing with new teams. I think towards the end of the first round, we'll get a third running back in there. 2.5 is a great number. That's right there. I can go either way. Because I was between 2 and 3 and no more, I'll end up taking the over. Betting unders aren't fun anyway. So I'll take the over here. I'll go onside.
So the Lions and Cowboys have a tradition of hosting a game on Thanksgiving. For the past 2 years, the Chiefs have played on Christmas Day and have said that they would like to do that every year. Well, since then, the NFL VP of Broadcasting and Scheduling, Mike North, joined.
Great dude, by the way. I saw him in Philly during, I think it was the Eagles-Packers playoff game.
So he joined the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast to discuss that possibility.
I'm not sure that's going to become a tradition quite the way Thanksgiving is. I mean, think about what it took for that tradition, right? The Lions since the 30s, the Cowboys since the 60s. We didn't commit to a third site on Thanksgiving when we brought that back about 20 years ago. We've rotated that around. I imagine we're going to keep rotating Christmas around too. I'm not sure we'd want to be, you know, married to a site. Never say never, but I don't think we're today going to commit to, you know, a permanent third host for Thanksgiving, a permanent host for Black Friday, or a permanent host for Christmas.
So onside, all sides, the NFL should assign one team to play on Christmas Day every year.
No, I don't even get why this is a topic of conversation. I understand, right, the Chiefs have wanted it, and then also with Thanksgiving, that goes on with the Lions and the Cowboys, but with how new this is, I don't think it should just be one team has to play on Thanksgiving. Like, what happened, or on Christmas, like, what happens if the Mahomes run doesn't go as long as we think it's supposed to? And then what happens after Patrick Mahomes too? What happens if the Chiefs go on to sucking? What, we just because they're the team right now, they're the dynasty team right now, we need to see them each and every day on Christmas? No, the NFL should assign one team to play on Christmas every year. Keep it open, let it rotate. I'm going offside on that one.
Offside.
Nico Iamaleava's time in Knoxville is over as the former five-star recruit is leaving Tennessee over NIL money. Iamaleava was the number 2 recruit in 2023 and is now the 7th of the top 8 quarterback recruits from his class to transfer, including number 3 Dante Moore, number 4 Jackson Arnold, number 5 Malachi Nelson, and number 6 Jaden Rosada. with Arch Manning being the only one to stay. Onsides, offsides, despite all the upheaval, you're still okay with the current NIL and transfer portal system.
So this is very vague, because I'm pro NIL and transfer portal, but also I have a lot of opinions on things that need to change. I don't think there should be two transfer windows. That's for starters. I also would like to see more rules. I would like to see more contracts. Like the fact that Nico Iamaliava allegedly, according to Josh Pate, was trying to get more money out of Tennessee before a playoff game, that's ridiculous. So, yes, I preface this by saying I'm pro NIL, I'm pro transfer portal, but there needs to be changes to the system. There needs to be more rules and more guidelines. So I can't say on sides that I'm okay with the current NIL and transfer portal system because it's the wild, wild west right now. So things need to be tinkered with. I will go offside.
Offside.
So Rory finally completed his career grand slam after a dramatic playoff win over Justin Rose at the Masters yesterday. Rory nearly choked the green jacket away, blowing a six-shot lead with a double bogey and three bogeys on the back nine, including a bogey on 18. We remember two other big golf chokes. First, John Vandeveld with choking away a three-shot lead on the 18th in the 1999 Open Championship, and Greg Norman losing a six-stroke lead in the final round of the 96 Masters. Onsides, offsides, if Rory had lost this year, it would have gone down as the worst choke job in golf history.
I'm going to go offside on that one because he lost the two-stroke lead through the first hole. Now, he got it back and then some, but he splashed in Ray's Creek, which is not something that is, like, uncommon to do. And Rory, one year he was up four and he shot, like, an 80. So we've seen worse from Rory, or just recently when he missed the putt. I know you could say which one because he missed one yesterday. That would have been bad. It would have been in the running, but I don't think it would have gone down as the worst choke job ever. It may be the most demoralizing, though, because that was just a crazy roller coaster ride. But I wouldn't say that it would go down as the worst choke in golf history, but it would be up there. So I go offsides.
Offsides.
The Cavaliers clinched the number one seed in the East, finishing three games ahead of the defending champion Celtics. However, despite their 64-win season, Cleveland is behind Boston in the title odds, with the Celtics at plus 190 and Cleveland all the way up at plus 575.
It's good value.
Onsides, offsides, you would take the Celtics in a seven-game series over the Cavs right now.
I'm conflicted on this because I've seen the Cavs twice in the last week in person, and I love the story of the Cavs, and I love Kenny Atkinson as a coach. I think people forget up until last year, the Celtics with this group got so close but yet so far so many times, and then they finally broke through last year. I think with Jason Tatum not playing at his best last year, that's even more motivation. So I would still lean the Celtics, but part of me wants to take the Cavs, especially at plus 575. But I keep on saying this, so I'll continue to stay by it. Until someone takes down the Celtics, I'm not going to pick against the Celtics out of the Eastern Conference. So you would take the Celtics in a seven-game series over the Cavs right now. Onsides.
Sticking in the NBA, the Warriors were rising up in the standings after their trade for Jimmy Butler, but have since cooled down and fell all the way into the play-in game after yesterday's dramatic loss to the Clippers. Now as the seventh seed, Golden State will have to win one game to make the playoffs and will face either number one Oklahoma City or number two Houston in the first round. Onsides, offsides, if the Warriors make the playoffs, you would pick them over both OKC and Houston.
Oh, over OKC? Absolutely not. Over Houston? Absolutely. So if the Warriors make the playoffs, you would pick them over both OKC and Houston. The "and" part being the big word there, I would go offside because I would pick OKC over the Warriors. I would not pick Houston over the Warriors. But let's look at these play-in tournament games, right? Because Adam Silver, all right, the greatest thing ever is this play-in tournament. Yeah, worked with Jimmy Butler. Yeah, Steph's there. It's okay, right? And LeBron. Does anyone need to see more of the Magic, the Hawks, the Bulls, or the Heat? No, 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 and no. Does anyone need to see more of the Golden State Warriors, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Sacramento Kings, and the Dallas Mavericks? All right, I want to see more of the Golden State Warriors, I'll be fair. Well, there's this great idea that after the regular season, who the eight best teams are in the West and the East just usually make the playoffs. That's how it used to be. Well, the Warriors right now would be the seventh. So now the Warriors need to either beat the Grizzlies or they could lose and then beat the winner of Sacramento or Dallas to get in the postseason. Is that stuff necessary? Absolutely not. So I know I already answered your question, but you sent me off on a tangent because this play-in tournament love, people, you soccer NBA lovers are all like, oh, it's the greatest thing ever! Nonsense. Trash. Trash! It's ass. That's what it is. Scott Farrell, come back and host on this network there for a second. All righty, what do we got?
So today, the Suns fired head coach Mike Budenholzer after one disastrous season as questions lingers about his future, as well as the stars Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. Now, Kevin Durant specifically has been linked with a variety of teams, including the Warriors, Rockets, Heat, Timberwolves, and Knicks. On such all sides, Kevin Durant will be on the Knicks next season.
No, I think Leon Rose is too intelligent to hand the franchise over to Kevin Durant. And I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze anymore with Kevin Durant. And I think the Suns are going to want picks now. Could they want Mikal Bridges? I still think it's more likely that if the Suns are going to trade someone to the Knicks, it would be Devin Booker, because I think Leon Rose would rather have Devin Booker over Kevin Durant. I think that would be an unnecessary move and a move that's not needed for the Knicks. So Kevin Durant will be on the Knicks next year. I'm against that. I would go offside.
Offside.
Final question.
And last one. During last night's Cubs-Dodgers game, Chicago shortstop Nico Horner was mic'd up and was actually doing an on-field interview while the game was going on. Well, as could be predicted, a ball was hit in Horner's direction right in the middle of a question from ESPN's Carl Ravitch, and a pop-up fell between Horner and two outfielders.
Center fielder for the Dodgers tonight was a teammate of mine in college, played short my freshman year, and I played second, so amazing to see all the success he's had here.
All right, well, you just opened up Pandora's box, because we have to find out about a difficult play, and obviously Nico Horner was involved in it. I tell you one thing, I was about to start saying, somebody call it, but I didn't want to interfere with anything that was going on.
All right, so onside, offside, baseball needs to nix in-game interviews.
For the All-Star game, I'm fine with it. For a regular season game, and I'm all about showcasing the personalities of these players more, but they usually suck on this Sunday night broadcast. They're terrible. So I'm good without them. I really am. You have availability before the game, after the game. Do we need availability in games that actually matter during the game, when the interviews usually stink anyway, even though you said this one was going well? I don't think so. So baseball needs the Knicks, the in-game interviews. Keep them in the All-Star game, but outside of that, yeah, get rid of them for everything else. So I would go more onsides than offsides on that one. Steve Sands from the Golf Channel will join us next. It is the Zach Gelb Show.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.